Thank you for listening to this sermon from Arapahoe Road Baptist Church. We hope you enjoy the teaching of Dr. David Rogers, lead pastor of Arapahoe Road. For more information about our church and its ministries, please visit arapahoeroad.org. And now, here's Pastor David Rogers.
I invite you to take your Bible and turn it on or open it up, depending on if yours is electronic or the old-fashioned kind, and go over to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy 6 is going to be on page 993 if you're using the Bible in the row in front of you. If you don't have a Bible, come see me when we're finished this morning. I'll make sure that you get one. This morning, I'm going to wrap up this series that I've been in, preaching in since I returned from my clergy renewal leave about 6 weeks ago. Over these weeks, I've felt compelled to preach out of some of the overflow from my time away over the summer with my family, some days that I was able to enjoy and invest in some solitude. Those were some extremely formational days for our family, and especially for me. I was able to decompress. I was able to rest, renew my mind. The Lord restored the joy of His salvation in my life. As I moved through those significant days of renewal, there were many, many different passages of Scripture from the Bible that God used to speak to me and that caused me to slow down, to think about some different things on a deeper and more reflective level during an unrushed and a slowed and a restful pace. Since I've been back, we've gone through some of those different reflections from different places in the Bible because I knew there was just no way that in one morning or a morning and an afternoon reporting session that I could even begin to share what the Lord had done in my life and in our family's life. And so hopefully over these past 6 weeks or so, you've been able to catch a glimpse of what the Lord was doing in my life and in our family's life, how some of that is beginning to translate into the direction that we're headed as a church. We, that first time back, we were in Jeremiah, and we spent some time in looking in Jeremiah 6 in particular. And then the week after that, we went to Isaiah and spent some time in Isaiah 30. And after that, we talked about Psalm 145, and particularly in verse 4, where it talks about generation to generation will be passing down the mighty acts of the Lord and talking about that. We talked about how Arapahoe Road is actually culminating the first 40 years of this church. And how in Scripture, in biblical terms, a generation is 40 years. And so if the Lord doesn't come back before February 2019, we will complete the first 40 years of the first generation of Arapahoe Road and step into, together, the second generation or the next generation, the next 40 years, and what that looks like and the responsibility that we have to set the next generation up to continue declaring the mighty acts of God. Then we talked about the Lord restoring the joy of His salvation and upholding our lives with a willing spirit, a prayer that David prayed from Psalm 51, verse 12. And then last week, if you were here, we talked about some of our wardrobe and how the Apostle Paul talks about putting on our full armor of God every single day. And we specifically talked about our feet being fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace and how to cultivate peace and just living a life that stands our ground and then advances with the armor of God on. And just thinking about life, and as I think about and reflect on the clergy renewal leave, I found myself over and over again saying, man, this is the life. I mean, this is the life. Have you ever made that statement? This is the life, or made that declaration. Maybe you were on a vacation that you had saved for and had the opportunity to enjoy, and you looked around at your surroundings and just kind of where you were, and you said, man, this is the life. Or maybe it wasn't in a vacation surrounding. Maybe it was something that changed in work for you, and maybe you had been in an hourly job where you get paid by the hour. Maybe you've got a salary, and so you know what's coming in, and you were like, man, I'm just not really advancing, not really making the kind of progress that I want to make, but something opened up in sales, and you're like, well, that's kind of risky, and it's not like I'm getting paid by the hour or a salary, but I'm going to go for it and see if I can advance. And Man, you stepped into that and everything you said just turned to gold. And every lead that you followed was a sale. And now you're kind of sitting here going, man, this is the life. This is the life. Or maybe this year you finally were able to move out of that apartment and into a house, into home ownership, and now you own that house and you're not paying rent, but you're paying down a mortgage and you own it and you're like, man, this is the life. Or maybe you finally got that last kid off the payroll and now it's just you and your spouse and you're like going, this is the life. Well, a passage that I've been reflecting on, considering this is the life, comes from something that the Apostle Paul wrote to his protege, Timothy. And he had some things to say about a life that is truly life. And Paul is going to talk with us as we read his words this morning that the Lord inspired him to write. Paul's going to talk about not only pursuing this kind of life, but really taking hold of that kind of life. So I want us to read the passage together. I'll make some comments and point to some other passages about life that Jesus has some insight on. And then I'll tell you a quick story and we'll wrap up and respond with a song before we head out today. Let's begin reading at the back half of verse 2. 1 Timothy 6. The back half of verse 2 says this: teach and urge these things. Verse 3, if anyone teaches a different doctrine and does not agree with the sound words of our Lord Jesus Christ and the teaching that accords with godliness, he's puffed up with conceit and understands nothing. He has an unhealthy craving for controversy and for quarrels about words, which produce envy and dissension and slander and evil suspicions and constant friction among people who are depraved in mind and deprived of the truth, imagining that godliness is a means of gain. Now, there is great gain in godliness with contentment. For we brought nothing into the world, and we cannot take anything out of the world. But if we have food and clothing, with these we will be content. Verse 9. But those who desire to be rich, they fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evils. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs. But as for you, he's fixing to start talking about life that's truly life, okay? It's not about getting rich quick. He's going to start talking about life. But as for you, oh man or oh woman of God, flee these things. Instead, pursue righteousness and godliness and faith and love and steadfastness and gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Watch this. Take hold of the eternal what? Life. Take hold of the eternal life. Underline that phrase. To which you were called, and about which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I charge you in the presence of God, who gives what? Who gives life to all things, and of Christ Jesus, who in his testimony before Pontius Pilate made the good confession to keep the commandment unstained and free from reproach until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he will display at the proper time. He who is the blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, who alone has immortality, who dwells in unapproachable light, whom no one has ever seen or can see. To him be honor and eternal dominion. Amen. And then he's going to drill back in here about life that's truly life. Watch this. As for the rich in this present age, by the way, if you're wondering if you're a part of that, you are. When you start looking at the global economy and the global scale of what the definition of rich is, you are part of it. You know, I don't feel like part of it. Well, you are. You are. And I am. We are rich when it comes to the world at large. As for the rich, so he's talking to you and me here, in this present age, charge them, all right, I'm charging you, okay, and I'm charging me. What are we getting charged with right here? Not to be haughty, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. What are we supposed to do? Well, they're to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share. Why? Because in doing so, we'll be storing up treasure for themselves as a good foundation for the future. Why? So that they may take hold of that which is truly life. This is the word of the Lord. And two times in this passage, the Apostle Paul talks about taking hold of life. He calls it eternal life in verse 12, and he calls it the life that is truly life in verse 19. So just think about it. Just think logically with me here for a second. It stands to reason that if you and I have the opportunity to take hold of life that is truly life, then at the same time, we also have the opportunity to take hold of a life that is what? It's not truly life, right? It's a fake kind of life. It's a temporary kind of life. A life that promises something but can't really and truly come through on that promise that's going to last and be fulfilling because it's not eternal and it's not everlasting. Now, don't get me wrong. There are some things on this planet, on earth, that are great to enjoy. They taste great, they smell great, they look great, they're fun to do. There's nothing wrong with enjoying the life that we're living. Just remember that some things are here today and gone tomorrow, and some things aren't. It may be fun, it may make a memory, it may be a great thing to mark off of a bucket list, and that's okay. I'm not saying stay away from the bucket list. I'm just saying remember what is life that is truly life and what is a mirage. Not eternal. See, I don't want to discount things that are fun and enjoyable and making memories. I mean, we want to do that as a family. I want to do that as a person, as a dad, as a husband. I just want to make sure that I'm not settling completely for a life that's temporary. If I have the opportunity to take hold of a life that is truly life, a life that is everlasting, a life that is eternal in nature, a life that's not going to just slip through my fingers, but instead is going to be stored up for all eternity to enjoy and to experience. I want to just share some different scripture references with you, some things that Jesus said. You know, I want to jot these down, and let's just let him define what life truly is. See, Jesus said some words about life to a man named Nicodemus in a nighttime conversation over in John chapter 3, verse 16. You don't have to turn there. It's on the screen. And Jesus said these words to Nicodemus about life. He said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have what? Eternal life. And then Jesus just goes on to describe and to define what eternal life is in another part of John. In John 17, verse 3, Jesus says these words. He says, "And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." So he's acknowledging, yeah, there may be many gods on earth. Those are false gods. There's only one true God, God the Father. And the only way that a person can know God the Father, the definition of eternal life, knowing God the Father, the only way a person can know God the Father is through putting his or her faith, hope, and trust in God the Son, Jesus Christ. That's why Jesus declared what he declared, said what he said over in John 14, verse 6, when he said, "I am the way and the truth and" what? The life. "And no one comes to the Father except through me." See, if you think that you can find true life in another way, Jesus says differently. He's saying something different than what you're thinking. He's saying you'd be trying to hold on to a life that's not truly life if you're trying to find it outside of me. That's a false life. That's a temporary life that will slip through your fingers. See, if you define life, "This is the life," by any other way, Jesus says, besides me, you're then trying to hold on to that life that's not truly life. And it's going to come up empty. And it's going to leave you with an eternity apart from me and apart from what I created you for, which is life in me and life in my name. That's why we sang the song about there's power in his name, because we're talking about a power that leads to what? Life. And that's what Jesus is saying in John 10, verse 10. We looked at that last week, or a couple of weeks ago, when we asked the question, who or what steals your joy? Satan, or the thief, will try to steal your joy. He may can try to steal your joy, but he can't steal your soul once you put your faith, hope, and trust in Jesus, not only for salvation, but for life that is truly what? Life. And Jesus said in John 10:10, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. And Jesus said, but I came that you may have what? You may have life. And not just have it, but have it how? Abundantly. Look what Jesus says about life in John chapter 5, verses 23 to 27. Look at this. He says, "Whoever does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Truly, truly," Jesus says, "I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has" what? "Eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from" where? "From death to life." He goes on, he says, "Truly, truly I say to you, an hour is coming and is now here when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will" what? "They will live. For as the Father has" what? "Life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have" what? "Life in himself, and he has given him authority to execute judgment because he is the Son of Man." You go, wow, you're kind of getting wound up today. I know. because I don't want you to hold on to life that's not truly life. And I don't want to go after life that's not truly life. I want to go after life that's truly life, life that's eternal. That's what we were talking about last week. If you were here last week, I shared this little description with you, this little drawing with you. Some of you are going, oh yeah, I remember that drawing. I'll do it on this side this week for our friends on this side. You go, what did you draw? I wasn't here last week. I've drawn it before, but sometimes just seeing it is so much easier to understand what I'm saying. If you can't see it over here, I'll take it off here in just a second. But in the beginning, what? God. So in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And you go through Genesis, and the first few books of Genesis, 1 and 2, and it talks about the creation account. And after he created the stars and the sun and the moon and the waters and divided all that out and the trees and all the animals, he created man. And then out of man, he created woman, human beings. And he created us to be in relationship and fellowship with himself because it brings him glory. He said, you can do anything you want, just don't eat from that tree. If you eat from that tree, you'll die. And anytime we do, say, or think something that God doesn't want us to do, say, or think, it's called what? Sin. And what sin does is it separates us from God. It separates us from holy God. God is holy. And when we choose to be disobedient to God by what we do or what we say or what we think, we sin. And the reason that we sin primarily is because of this center letter. Say that center letter with me. I. And when we sin because we say, I know better than God. I'm smarter than God. I know what I really need. God doesn't really know what I need. God's trying to pull one over on me. I'm going to be God. I'm going to make my own decisions. I know the life that is really the life that I was intended. And God goes, no. Your sin separates you from me. And the only way that we can ever have a shot of coming back into fellowship with God is because someone who never sinned laid down his life as a bridge. And his name was what? Jesus. And when Jesus laid down his life and died on the cross, he canceled all of our sin. And he made a way for us to walk across that bridge and come back to life. That's truly life. Paul writes in Ephesians 2, he said, you're all dead in your sin and your trespasses. Well, thanks a lot, Pastor. You're welcome. Because the world just rubs affirmation cream on you and says, you're okay, I'm okay, what's the big deal? The big deal is sin separates us from God. And if you and I don't know the truth, we'll run after a life that's not truly life. And we'll stand before a holy God one day. And that will not be a good day. And I'm saying the first words that John's gospel says when I do this right here. You go, I thought that was from Genesis. Yep. But listen to what it says in John chapter 1. Verses 1 through 4, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Look at the start of verse 4. In Him was what? Say it with me. Life. And the life was the light of men. And I fear that many of us are walking around in the dark when it comes to trying to hold on to a life that's truly life. And we're missing it because we're pursuing a definition of this is the life. It's not truly life. It's the message that a pastor named Dr. John Piper preached to 40,000 college students 18 and a half years ago. It was May the 20th, 2000, in Memphis, Tennessee. It was a rainy, it was a soggy gathering. The day was called One Day, because it happened on one day. It's kind of creative, isn't it? And the message he preached on that one day caused a ripple effect that still impacts my life and the lives of thousands of others who have since heard that message that was recorded on one day. And here's what Dr. Piper said. He said, you don't have to know a lot of things for your life to make a lasting difference in this world. You don't have to be smart or good looking or from a good family. You just have to know a few basic, glorious, majestic, obvious, unchanging, eternal things and be gripped by them and be willing to lay down your life for them. And then about 5 minutes into his message, he laid out a comparison that day that nobody forgot. He said, 3 weeks ago, we got the news at our church that Ruby Eliason and Laura Edwards were killed in Cameroon. Ruby Eliason, over 80, single all her life, a nurse, poured her life out for one thing: to make Jesus known among the sick and the poor in the hardest and most unreached places. Laura Edwards, a medical doctor in the Twin Cities, upon her retirement, partnered up with Ruby. She also was pushing 80. And she, along with Ruby, was going from village to village in Cameroon. And one day the brakes gave out. Over a cliff they go. They died instantly. And Dr. Piper said, I asked my congregation, is that a tragedy? Two women in their 80s, a whole life devoted to one idea, Jesus Christ magnified among the poor and the sick and the hardest places. And 20 years after most of their peers had retired to Florida or New Mexico, their life's over in a blink. Is that a tragedy? Dr. Piper asked. And then he responded, it's not a tragedy. He said, I'll read you what a tragedy is. And he pulled out a story from Reader's Digest. And part of the story that he read said this: Bob and Penny took early retirement from their jobs in the Northeast 5 years ago when he was 59 and she was 51. And now they live in Punta Gorda, Florida, where they cruise on their 30-foot trawler, play softball, and collect shells. He put the story down. He said, that's a tragedy. That's a tragedy. And there are people in this country that are spending billions of dollars to get you to buy it. He said, I get 40 minutes to plead with you. Don't buy it. With all my heart, I plead with you, don't buy that dream. Don't chase after that life. He said, as the last chapter, before you stand before the Creator of the universe to give an account with what you did with your life, here it is, Lord, my shell collection. And look at my swing. And did you see my boat? He said, that'll be a tragedy. It's not that they're not fun. They are. They're just not the life that's truly life. Don't waste your life, he said. You've got one life to live on the earth. Don't waste it. Make it count. Go after the life that's truly life, the everlasting life, life eternal. This is eternal life, Jesus said, that we may know God the Father through Jesus Christ the Son and live in the power of His Holy Spirit, guided by His eternal and perfect Word. That's the life. C.T. Studd wrote in a poem these words, "Only one life. Will soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last." When I was on my sabbatical before the kids and Allison got out of school, I had the opportunity to spend a week at my sister. Her in-laws have a beach house at Jamaica Beach down in Galveston, and they just gifted it to me for a week. They're so generous. They just said, "Yeah, have the run of the place. It's yours." I was like, okay. And I just was quiet for a week down there and read and prayed and drank a lot of coffee and would walk down to the beach. And one morning I walked down to the beach and this is what I found. And I snapped that picture and sent it back to Allison. And the first time that Allison and I ever went to the beach together, we weren't married yet, we were engaged, and my family went down to the same place that we go to every year, and she went with us, and we went on our first walk on the beach, and the first walk we went on the beach, we found two of those whole sand dollars. They're right here. And some really pretty shells. And I stuck them in a safe place and had them mounted and framed and gave this to her as a gift. Our first Christmas together, for a couple of things to remind us what we found on that first walk, but also to remind me, I want to show more than this to God. Don't waste your life. You got one life to live on this earth. Don't waste it. Enjoy it, but don't waste it. Would you stand with me? I want to give you a blessing. And I want to thank you for letting me share with you over these last 6 weeks or so, some of the overflow.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. Feel free to distribute this recording, but please do not sell or alter it in any way. For more information about Arapahoe Road Baptist Church, please visit our church website at arapahoeroad.org. Arapahoe Road Baptist Church is located at 2256 Arapahoe Road in Garland, Texas, with Sunday morning services at 9:30 a.m. Feel free to join us this week.